Dan for a moment. I don't know if you know it or not, but God's here. And he wants me to remind you that he is a consuming fire. I want you to raise your hands and let the fire of God just begin to saturate your spirit. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. You see, we're not just saved to be saved. We're not just saved to be saved. We're saved to reflect Him. We're saved to manifest Him to a lost and a dying world. We are saved to bring change everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. The Holy Spirit has said to me that He is going to be dismantling some strongholds tonight. Things that maybe you've been thinking or feeling that has limited you in what God has called you to. He makes all things new. And the scripture says He subdues all things to Himself. So as we worship Him, as we're here before Him right now, He is a consuming fire, and He loves you with an ever-burning desire for you to experience His fullness in your lives. It burns. Oh God, it burns. You see, I've been here in the sanctuary this last week, fasting and praying. And there's been multiple times. I told my wife one night, we were watching TV. You can sit down if you want. We were watching TV, and there's Christmas movies just over and over and over, and they always end with a kiss. Hallmark Movie Channel. But the Holy Spirit was just churning on the inside of me as I'm there in the living room. I've been fasting and praying for you and wanted to spend some time with Jackie. Just keep it up. But the Holy Spirit just began to burn in my heart. And it was well past my bedtime, so I thought I'll go ahead and go to bed. But as I went in to lay down, I just began to weep. And it was all about experiencing the Lord saying to me, my heart burns that my people would live fully in me. Fully. Fully. Without reservation. Without fear. Without doubt. Just let the fire burn. Let the love move. Some years ago, I'm going to need to release her in just a second, so I'm going to minister to her for a minute. The Holy Spirit told me this morning that the anointing that you've received of Him is on the increase. And it's a scary thing, but that's okay. Sometimes the songs that come out of you and the things that come out of you in worship, you've never been there before, but that's okay. Because He says, sing a new song unto me. And sometimes that new song can only be brought forth by the things that we experience. the warfare of our life, when we see the Lord continuing to take us higher and higher and deeper into His presence. Let it take you into the flow, because the anointing that He has that you've received is on the increase. Receive it in Jesus' name. Some years ago, a prophet's reward, and I'll get to the scripture in just a little bit. Before I met that beautiful lady over there, I don't know if you heard some of my testimony, but I'm a weird duck. I went to a picnic church in Kansas where they thought speaking in tongues is of the devil. And long story short, I got saved. And things began to happen in my life. I experienced the power of the Holy Spirit the night that I was saved. I experienced demonic warfare the night that I was got saved. And I didn't experience it because I just kind of felt it. I saw them. And they were trying to kill me. And that was the first time, the night that I got saved, that I found out the name of Jesus has all the power and authority that He says it does. And I began to walk out a life where I was, you know, I just spent time in the Word. I just spent time in the Word. Nobody ever told me I was supposed to. I got a hunger for it. I began to spend time in the Word. And I was just dumb enough to believe everything I read. Nobody told me I wasn't supposed to. Nobody told me, well, that was for then, and this, you know, it's not for now. So I just began to walk that direction. I had such a hunger to tell people about Jesus that I got a job as a taxi cab driver one time for no other reason than I wanted to get people in the seat. And I thought if I could get them in the seat, they had to hear. I led a state trooper to the Lord one time while I was hitchhiking. He picked me up, and guess what he got to hear? He got to hear the power and the love and the majesty of Jesus Christ. When I worked for that taxi cab service, now, you have to remember, I haven't been churched. I haven't been churched. I haven't been in anybody's denomination. That doesn't mean I didn't want a fellowship. That just means I just wasn't. So I got in this taxi cab driver's service, and they had one car. And they had two shifts. And the shifts overlapped in the morning. They called me preacher because, guess what? That's what I did. And one morning, it was my time to take over the next shift. And when that shift take over, they overlapped. And the driver that was on the night shift hadn't had a fare all night long. Hadn't had a fare all night long. And so he came in, he threw the keys on the dispatcher's table, and he went over, sat down. And I'm over there on my chair just reading the Word, being at peace in the Holy Ghost. And the phone rang, a fare came up. And before she could really get it all out, he grabbed up the keys and took off. And she looked at me and she said, well, preacher, that was your fare. I didn't even look off the Bible. And I said, that's all right. My God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The next phone call will be a fare twice as far. And the phone rang. And it was a fare twice as far. And she said, you're weird. But I got to spend the next 45 minutes telling her about the power of God. And she just began to open her life to me. Now, I said that to say this. It wasn't long before I began to fellowship with other churches and just fellowship. And then she was involved with the Pentecostal Church of God at the time that I met her. And her family was, and so I began to just fellowship with them. I remember One day I picked up my guitar and I was going to go down to the senior citizens hall. And as I got my guitar, and I am believing God for miraculous demonstration of his power. Why? Because that's what the word says. Because that's what it says. And so I got my guitar and I'm getting ready to walk out the back door. And this older gentleman that had been a preacher since God made dirt met me at the back door and he said, "Brother Cass, I just want to tell you that nothing you say today is going to make any difference. There's people that's spoken that to you in your life. And it's not true." Matthew 10, 40, 41. So I'm only ministering on a prophet's reward. Matthew 10. I'll just go ahead and read it off of that. "He that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward." "And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward." So what is a prophet's reward? Hallelujah. Thank you for standing. I'm not used to that. "He that receiveth you receiveth me. Shaka batata kasa. He that receiveth you receiveth me." There's a depth in that scripture. "He that receiveth you receiveth me." You know, the first time I read that, thank God for the Holy Ghost, because it just connected. It just connected. I began to think, wherever I go, because I'm in him, he's in me. Wherever I go, whoever receives the word that I have for them receives him. Made me all more dedicated and desirous to just begin to give out. Let my life be a river of just giving out, because I'm in him. So what is a prophet's reward? A prophet's reward. You know, I used to think the prophet's reward, well, you know, God rewarded the prophet. You don't have to continue playing if you don't want to. I used to think, well, that just means that prophet got to go to heaven. So the guy that receives a prophet gets to go to heaven too. Yeah, but no. A prophet's reward is the gift God wants to release through his sons and daughters, as well as the glory that passes through them back to him. As well as the glory that he receives that flows through us back to him. I don't know if you've got it on your thing, but 2 Corinthians 1, 20. All the promises of God are yes in him. And in him, amen, to the glory of God by us. They are yes, amen, to the glory of God by us. God is looking glorify his name. 1 Corinthians 12:7. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man with all." That's I'm going to read to you the Weish translation, which is a transliteration. It uses as many terms as is necessary. Hallelujah. All I got to do is be willing. All I got to do is be willing. Go with me to Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's chew on that for just a minute. How do you come to God and not believe he is? But then he says, I not only have to believe that he is, I literally in my lifetime have to believe that he's going to reward me in my pursuit of him. He's going to reward me. You know, it's awesome when we read Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and some of the other sermons that he gave to us, the message, and he said, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, the door's open. He said in the book of Revelation to a church, he said, I have the keys of David. I open doors that no man can shut. I shut doors too. That's not the point. He gives us an open door that nobody can shut if we give ourselves to diligently seek him. Now, diligence in seeking God, and I've got my notes. Maybe I just ought to walk around with my notes so I don't have to come up here because I don't like being up here. I like being down close to you. Why? Because I'm part of a family. Side note, I was doing a conference one day and I told this one brother I wanted to do a thing on the fivefold ministry. And I had a slide presentation and it showed the pulpit area and the apostle and the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, teacher, all on the platform. But I had another one that had about 200 people, and in through that, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher was all there. He didn't let me speak. Diligence in seeking God has little to do with church services and church events when it comes to our personal walk with God. I didn't say it didn't have anything to do with it. I said it had little to do with it. It has more to do with a daily diligence to seek and remain aware of his presence. And be aware of his presence. You know, one of the things, I think I need to share this with you. When individuals get up in the worship spot, the worship leader, There's a battle that takes place there. Just like many of us that we're sitting out in the congregation, there's a battle going on. Whether or not we're going to really enter into His presence. Whether or not we're really going to let the presence of God influence us where we are and saturate our thoughts. We've got a lot of stuff going on in our brains. And one of the best things we can do is learn to do what we did this morning. Lean back against Him and breathe. Even in the midst of a lot of stuff going on. Just learn how to lean back. Learn how to enter in. Learn how to seek His presence. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the entire earth that He might show Himself mighty on the behalf of them that fear Him. God's looking for an opportunity to manifest His glory. And He doesn't just do it through the pulpit. But God's way is the way of honor. Rewards are directly related to an intentional and a sustained sensitivity. You know why I write this down? Because I forget it. You know, when you're in prayer and the Holy Ghost says, well, that's good, Lord, I'll write that down. Well, guess what? If I don't write it down, I'll forget it. And I'll chase a rabbit trail and then y'all won't get nothing. Rewards are directly related to an intentional and sustained sensitivity towards God so as to pull on His presence. Chillicothe is a town waiting for transformation. Rewards are directly related to an intentional and sustained sensitivity towards God so as to pull on His presence regardless of what we're going through or what we are doing. John 8:28, Jesus declares this. He says, "The Father has not left me alone." And the idea is this doesn't matter where Jesus is at, doesn't matter what Jesus is doing, don't matter what God, what He's confronted with, the Father did not leave Him alone to figure it out on His own. And Jesus had a constant pull on the Father. And he was hooked up as to hear Him. He spent time with Him. And then when He was out doing all the doings, He was listening, He was watching. Zacchaeus up in a tree, trying to figure out if I can see Jesus. Jesus stops and says, "Come on down, because today I've got to come to your house." A constant pull on the presence of the Lord, a constant pull on the wisdom of God, a constant pull. You see, the wisdom of God isn't just something, you know, it's not like we're like Solomon, and we can offer 1,000 bullocks, you know, and give this mighty offering, and God coming to us in a dream and say, "Ask anything you want," you know, and God just give us wisdom. I don't know about you, but I have to get wisdom step by step by step. Why? Because I'm walking with people. Amen. Because I'm walking with people. I could have no problem at all walking in the fruits of the Holy Ghost if I lived on an island. But if I'm going to live in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, I have to pull on the power of that fruit moment by moment in my life. And He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So it's not about whether or not I go to church on Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday and Tuesday. It's a matter of whether I learn to be in a lifestyle where I am in His presence in the morning. I'm in His presence in the afternoon. I'm in His presence on the job site. I'm in His presence in Walmart. You know, there's been a lot of times in my life where I've been in Walmart and I'm walking through the door and my spirit begins to burn. And so the first thing I do is I start looking. Holy Ghost, what's happening? Are you going to use me in this moment? And it might be just paying for that guy's stuff in front that he can't pay for. That happened on the way over here. We were going to stop and get Jackie a thing of Aquafina, and the guy was messing around, couldn't get his stuff paid for. And I told Jackie, I said, one more second. If that thing would have failed again, I would have stepped up. But it's learning how to have a pull on the Holy Spirit moment by moment by moment. Why? Because God puts a river in front of us. God put a river in us. It's not a stagnant pond. It's a river. And it flows. And where does it flow? It flows everlasting life. And it flows through us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Faith requires the same attitude in us. The Father hasn't left me. I'm not here alone. I'm not here out on my own. I'm not an orphan. I'm a son. I'm a son. I'm a son. Let me give you another insight to some of my weirdness. Just how much I believe this word. There was a time when I had to live with my mom and dad right after I got saved because God just turned everything upside down. Everything. And so I'm at my dad's house and my dad wanted me to go get a job. And he's like, you can't live in this world without a job. And I remember the look on his face when I said, I'm not of this world. I'm born from above. My father's with me. He said, out. But before my father passed away, he loved to come and hear me minister. He loved to come and hear me preach. And I got to lead him to the Lord before he went home to be with the Lord. Complacency opens a door for distraction. And distraction robs opportunity. Complacency opens the door for distraction. And distraction robs opportunity. Here's another perspective. It is absolutely pointless to seek God's presence if you refuse to accept the reward that God gives connected to the flowing of His Spirit through your life. God didn't give His Holy Spirit just to jump up and down. God didn't give the Holy Ghost just to have a Holy Ghost party. Matter of fact, there's times in my life when I'm in the midst of my brethren, it's a Holy Ghost party up and down and up and down, and my heart is out in the street. Yeah, I like to jump up and down. But you haven't, if you've never led someone to Christ out on the street and you don't know the move of the Holy Ghost that comes from your inner being and moves into somebody, that's addicting. I'm telling you, that's addicting. It's almost as addicting as worshiping God and being translated in that worship where you don't know what's going on around you. When I was pastoring in a place where there was crack houses on every corner of the street and thieves everywhere around us, matter of fact, we had in our church at that time, we had a gang the gang leader got saved down in East St. Louis, and he was there in our church with all of his gang members and both of his ex-girlfriends. Now, during that time, I was the worship leader because guess what? I love to worship. And when I would be the worship leader because nobody can tell me to stop. I just get lost in God's presence. And on one particular day,
There was a fight that broke out at the back of the church, and I was clueless. I didn't even know it took place. Somebody had to tell me about it later because I was lost in the presence of God. And then it all turned out all right. And that young man that was the head of that gang still got Jesus in his life. Let's go to Luke 4. I'm going to go 18 through 27. See, Jesus is on this at the synagogue. And it was delivered unto him a book to read. Just happened to be the book of Isaiah. And he turned to this scripture and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." He closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Something's happening. And he began to say unto them, "This day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears," and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "You will surely say unto me this proverb, 'Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country.'" And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the day of Elias, when heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." So they all bore witness to the gracious words that were being spoken. They all bore witness. The word of God had not been prophesied in Israel for over 400 years. And all the people of this synagogue were witnessing something they had never experienced in their life before. Because his words are spirit and they are life, and they are life to those that find him. And Jesus, as he began to speak forth this prophecy, their hearts began to burn on the inside of them. In Mark, it actually says, "Who's this? Where'd he get this from?" But then they began to say something else. "Is not this Joseph's son? Is not this Joseph's son?" And they talked themselves out of the prophet's reward. Many people in Israel during his time talked themselves right out of what God wanted them to have. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered thee as a hen gathers her chicks under their wings, but ye would not." They talked themselves out of it. Now, Israel missed Elijah and Elisha. We see here, God wanted to release a testimony in the earth. God wants to release a testimony in the earth. You. God wants to release a testimony in the earth. God wanted to release a testimony of his provision in the earth. But guess what? He couldn't do it in his children Israel. So he went outside of Israel to a widow of Zarephath, sent Elijah there, and sustained her house until the famine was broken. God wanted to show forth healing in the days of Elisha. But he couldn't do it inside of Israel because of where their heart was. So he went outside of Israel and healed an enemy king. Healed an enemy king. God is passionate about flowing through our lives. I thank God that he's patient and long-suffering. Those who set their hearts
for a continual pull on his presence and will live in a constant state of reward. Let me tell you a funny story. I've got one more half a page of notes. Another funny story. My wife and I were always going from one vehicle to another vehicle to another vehicle to another vehicle. What was really cool, though, is people would just say, here's a vehicle. Here's a vehicle. One time, I'm preaching in one city, and somebody just drove up this brand new van, and I'm like, cool van. And the Holy Ghost said, it's going to be yours. 8 years later, it was. But what was cool is that God said it. And it didn't matter whether it was 8, 10, 12. He performed what he said. He did what he said. So my middle daughter, a couple weeks ago, and you're going to like this, I promise. A couple weeks ago, she comes to me and she says, Dad, we were driving my car, brakes didn't work no more. So they took it to a mechanic. Mechanic said, it ain't worth nothing. Don't even try to fix it because all of the underside's all rusted, completely gone. And the amount of money it's going to take to fix this, might as well buy another vehicle. So she calls me and she says, Dad, can you ask God to give me a vehicle? And I'm like, yeah, I can. But what you don't understand, sweetheart, is I was engaged with the Holy Ghost. Mom and I was engaged with the Holy Ghost. We were doing that step by step, moment by moment, pulling on his presence, pulling on his wisdom, pulling on his understanding, pulling on his direction, pulling on his breath, pulling on him, moment by moment. And when we got into those areas of need, he said, he already promised it. If you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. If you got something you need, I'll gladly give it to you. I'll supply it for you. Tithing is a great and wonderful thing, and we need to do it, and we need to give offerings. But the greatest offering we can give is ourselves. The greatest offering that we can give is ourselves. And if we'll learn how to pull on that presence, if we'll learn how to pull on the presence, why am I continuing to just milk this? Pull on the presence. Pull on his presence. Don't let any thought come into your mind that will quench or grieve the Holy Spirit. We're a body. We're a family. And we all have different ministries here. We all have different callings. We all have different levels of leadership. But the best leadership we can learn how to take is learning how to be a leader of just walking in Him. God wants His presence here. He said that we're supposed to be a holy habitation. Nothing. I don't have the right to think about something that is going to grieve the Holy Spirit. We want this place to be a place where the fire of God is here and miracles, signs, and wonders. And believe me, He hasn't changed. There's not even a shadow of His turning. Not even a shadow of His turning. He's the same. And He wants it far more than you do. So it's important for us to understand He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. He's a rewarder of those who care whether or not I am pulling on His presence, whether or not I am pulling Shukaba. God, I got to be closer to You. God, I want to hear what You say. I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to be complacent. I want to be on fire. I want to be filled with Your Holy Spirit. I want to move in the wisdom of God. I want to move in the words of knowledge. I want to move in the words of understanding.
and wisdom. I want to be moved by him. I want to be, and I pray this quite often, God, I don't understand it. I read it in Ezekiel. I don't understand it, but I pray it. God, I want to be the wheel within the wheel. You and me, me and you. Moving with you. Living with you. Walking with you. Attentive to your spirit. Attentive to your words. Oh, hallelujah. Complacency and indifference to the moment will rob you of it. There is a moment. Our moment is now. How do I know that? Seems to me, I read in the Word, now is the accepted time. If you will today hear my voice, harden not your hearts. Let me share some other things with you and I'll try to wrap this up. Hope I'm not going too long. Hallelujah. God's no respecter of persons. If you seek him and honor him in it, he will glorify his name through you and me at any given moment. What I'm going to share with you is significant. I was fellowshipping in a church in Fairview Heights called Life Church. And church was over with. Anointing had left. You know, everybody done shaking hands and doing what we do. Who's going to dinner? Where are we going to dinner? All that kind of stuff. And I'm standing up by the altar, and a businessman friend of mine was standing up there. And we're just talking about family, kids. I forget what we were talking about. But as I was standing there, out of the corner of my eye, I saw a shadow coming up, and I turned. And when I turned, boom, the Holy Ghost dropped in my spirit, and it was his wife. And I said, Patty. I can say her name because nobody here knows her. I said, Patty, the Lord wants me to tell you he's got your finances in control. You don't have to worry about nothing. Blessings are coming. You need to stay in peace and let God handle your finances. And it was one of those times, the fire of God was just burning on the inside of me. I knew it was God. And her husband's standing right next to me. He's probably going, what just happened? Because the conversation changed in that moment. And she said, that's a good word. That's sweet. And I went, uh-oh. So I said, Dan, love you. Gave her a hug. We went on about our business. 4 hours later, Dan calls me. He said, Cass, if that was ever a word from God, it was right then. My wife came home and argued with me for 3.5 hours over finances. What was the prophet's reward? Peace. Rest. Joy. If we can be complacent with each other, not recognize there's a gift in you. I need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit can bear witness with my spirit that I'm a son, then the discerning of spirits can bear witness with my spirit that the Holy Spirit's in you. That the gift of God is in you. And if I'm complacent and I'm distracted, when the Holy Spirit that I know, that I walk with, dwelling in me, begins to move through your life, I won't discern it. And I'll miss it.
and I won't get the reward. But the bad part about it is neither will the body. And the Father wants to release His gifting through His body. Why? Colossians 2, I believe it's 12, says that we're raised with Him through the faith of the operation of God. I have to exhibit faith in the operation of what God's doing. Not only an understanding that I'm raised with Him, but the operation of God is consistent in my life. Everywhere I am. Hallelujah. I'm going to wrap it up. Two more testimonies because they're important. Two more testimonies because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I'm in North Dakota having a revival. And I think there were three preachers preaching that day. And there was probably 300 people in the auditorium. We were just tag teaming. I was the last guy. And so I ended up preaching and calling for the altar call, and the altar just filled up. And I got out, and it wasn't divided like this. There was just one that came down the middle. So I'm coming down the middle, and I hear, "It's only Cass." I'm like, "What?" I took another step. "It's only Cass." What? So I started to go right, and the Holy Ghost went, no, you're going left. So I went left, went down on the very end, stood in front of this young man, and when I stood in front of him, I heard it again, "It's only Cass." And God didn't even let me ask him what the deal was. I started praying in the Holy Ghost, and before I knew it, I was laying hands on him and commanding the demons to come out of him. He hit the floor. Bam. No catchers. He just hit the floor. Bam. Now, one of the guys that I knew had come up to see if he could minister with me, and I cast that devil out. He jumped back. He said, "I saw it come out." There are individuals that God has set it in order for them to receive something from God, and the enemy is going to tell them, "It's just so-and-so. It's just so-and-so." Well, they ain't nobody in the church of God. Well, they don't have no credentials. I'm going to tell you what. Holy Ghost is the best credential you ever get. Jesus is the best credential you ever have. And sometimes, don't let the enemy tell you it's just so-and-so. There's some of you, oh God, do I have to go there? There's sometimes God wants to release a miracle in people's lives. And they've let the enemy say it's just so-and-so. Or it won't happen here. The setting's not just right. Or I don't just feel it right. Do you know that Jesus Christ, that Christ isn't His last name? Do you know that the Bible talks about an Antichrist spirit? Do you know that it doesn't say that it's an anti-Jesus spirit? It's an Antichrist spirit. Why? Because Jesus was the anointed one. And the spirit is against the anointing. Not you. He's against the anointing that breaks and destroys every single yoke of bondage, of sickness and disease. Nothing is outside of the power and the majesty and the magnificence of God flowing through an individual who is submitted and surrendered and pulling on his life stream. That's the other thing that the enemy whispers to us. You'll only get eternal life when you get to heaven. You only get eternal life when you get to heaven. Scripture says, I have it now. I have it now. Jesus told Martha. Martha says, well, I know he'll raise in the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth on me and liveth shall never die. Hallelujah. I am what God says I am. I am what God says I am. I'm anointed because he lives in me. Do you have to be close to somebody for God to move? No. My last testimony, Jackie and I had just kind of figured out we was going to get married at some point. But because I was fellowshipping with the Pentecostal Church of God, and I was 30 years old, I was kind of a youngster. So I decided I was going to be a counselor at the youth camp. And so they said, yeah, you can be a counselor at the youth camp. So we get to the youth camp on the day that everybody's registering, and there's this big auditorium. And it's probably 200 feet from one corner to another. And they had all the people that were, all the youth that were signing up all the way around the walls on the outside. Me and Jackie's all the way over here, and there's like 200 feet. I could barely see him. And the Holy Ghost is speaking to me. And I leaned over to Jackie and said, hey, Jackie, guess what? She goes, what? I said, Holy Ghost says we're going to be casting out demons at this youth conference. And as soon as I said it, my eyes looked over to the window 200 feet away. And a kid went and turned at the same time. He began to make a beeline to me. Walked right up to me. He put his nose like that close to mine. And you know what he said? He said, how long have you been saved? I said, long enough. Anyway, they put him in my cabin. He got saved. He got delivered. The Holy Ghost took and powerfully removed the demons out of his life. I say that to say this. Do you know when we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, when we draw and we pull on Him and make it our lifestyle, you can walk into a restaurant and the atmosphere will change. Because you and the Holy Ghost, the Master of Glory, the one that spoke the world into existence, is with you. Nothing is impossible to those who are believing. Notice I said who are believing. Not just, well, those who believe. Well, I believed once. I believe. One day I was praying in the Holy Ghost, driving a semi down Highway 64. Headed down to Louisville, Kentucky. And I began to just get into the presence of the Lord in that semi. And the Holy Spirit began to minister to me and bring to remembrance things whatsoever He had said. And He said, all things are possible to them that believe. I stood up at 65 miles an hour driving that semi. And I began to scream out the window, I believe! Shakabala! Do what you want to do, Holy Ghost! Move in my life. Have your way. And again, the other side of that, if I ask, if I confess, I need to move into faith, believing it's going to take place. I need to start looking. I need to start listening. I need to start being sensitive. I need to take a watch over the things that I may or may not say or do. We can't grieve the Holy Ghost. You have a miraculous opportunity here now. The time's now. There's an amazing opportunity. Fire of God. God's just waiting to just let it go and let the fire fall and let the glory come. Are we willing to say, God, I'm going to put at rest my arguments. Doesn't matter if you're a youth leader. You know, one of the things I told Brian all the time, youth were going to, and he calls me and says, Dad, what about this? What about that? What about this other thing? There are times when he calls me and I say, Brian, have you prayed in the Holy Ghost lately? How much time have you spent praying in the Holy Ghost? How many people got the Holy Ghost in here? You know, I asked somebody that the other day that had baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he goes, well, maybe once about 10 years ago. I can't even go through a worship service without Hakshabakarabakashitidi. Why? Driving the same semi one time. Now, I already knew, you know, I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. I pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost. And, you know, I can remember seeing videos of children, 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds, praying in the Holy Ghost on the floor. And it's like it happens one time and then it don't happen again. We need to encourage them. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I was praying in the Holy Ghost. I'd been fasting about 3 days without any water. I called Jackie. I said, I call that a dead man's fast, because 3 days without water and praying in the Holy Ghost, I'm drained. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, and the Lord goes, who's talking? I said, well, Holy Spirit. He goes, who's Holy Spirit? And my mind starts racing through the scriptures, and I'm like, well, he's the Spirit of truth. What's he speaking? What's he speaking? I'm like, well, God is speaking truth. He said, who's he speaking it to? He's building me up on my most holy faith as I release myself to him and pull on him and pull on him. And he's making deposits. He's making deposits. I might not understand him, but he's making deposits. He might be telling me about something that's going to happen 5 years from now. I don't know, but I'm going to pull. I'm going to pull. I'm going to pull. There's going to be times in the coming days the presence of God is going to be so rich here. God's going to be taking, and it doesn't matter whether it's Amy or Anna or whoever, God's going to begin to minister in an arena of worship you've not experienced before. One time, before I got involved in the Pentecostal Church of God, I was there and I was starting to fellowship with them. And one of their worship leaders was in the back room, and we were just there having breakfast one morning. And I began to speak to her about the scripture that says, God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I began to minister to her and say, you know, I don't have to come in here in the flesh and work it up. When I walk through the door, I can be in the spirit. When I open my mouth, I can open my mouth one with the Holy Spirit. I don't have to work it up. And she began to just lean her ear toward me. And she's like, tell me more. And her husband came along and grabbed her by the arm and said, come on, don't listen to him. But there's a place in God. If I diligently seek him, if I pull on him, if I pull on his presence, if I pull on his wisdom, if I pull on his understanding, if I pull on his kindness, if I pull on his generosity, if I pull on his mercy, then anybody you ever meet is not going to need it. We all need mercy. Father, thank you, God. Stand with me. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I was going to take a... I'll do it, but these things kind of blow away easily. The Lord said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you always, even until the end of the age. But one of the ways that you can draw on the presence of the Holy Spirit is to walk so that it never blows off. Nothing I do is going to make it want to leave. I'm not going to grieve it. The scripture says, the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you have no need that any man teach you. I'm not saying he's going to leave your life. But your attitude might have an impact on his impartation. It might have an impact on what he wants to do. It might have an impact on how effective you are in reaching the youth, or who you're called to, or what God wants to do in Souls Harbor. Nothing is impossible to those who believe. We need to make a life of leaning and pulling on the Holy Spirit. He's the only adult in the room. Father, thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah.